Hello, dear listener. We wouldn't have a Mothic Guys episode if we didn't have a ton of technical difficulties, and so we are going to be re-recording the first, 15 minutes of this again, because just reasons and things. How are y'all doing? Doing good? Hope y'all are doing good. How are you doing, Clark?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. I can't complain. Beautiful day today. Beautiful weather. Beautiful Mott days.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I mean, here in Utah, it has been very hot. But lately, starting today, it has actually been pretty nice. So definitely enjoying a little bit of cooler temperature.
Heck yeah. Yeah, up in Washington, where, you know, typically it's a little bit cooler up here. It's been solid 90s. Pushing 100, so it's been toasty, but oh, good.
Yeah, could be worse.
Could be worse. I could be in Death Valley.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about it. I mean, there's worse, and then there's the worst.
The worst.
But yeah. We have no follow up.
We don't.
But that's okay. You know, no worries. We're not sad or anything.
No, we're not asking you to send us. Actually, we are.
Isn't that how we end every episode?
Usually, yeah. No.
Begging.
Yeah, every time.
Begging and pleading.
Begging and pleading. Please send us something.
But, I mean, we've been hearing, you know, just kind of through the grapevine that people still don't know that the podcast is back in business, back making episodes. And so if you're listening to this, you obviously know, because this is a new episode that we're recording in August of 2023, and should be out sometime.
Yeah, let them know we're back with a vengeance.
We're back with a vengeance indeed. Well, related to the question of follow-up, we actually did receive an email back in January of this year, good solid bit ago, asking if we'd ever tried Anapark. And we addressed this email when we recorded a couple times or months ago, so this isn't new, but we are bringing it up again because that is the basis of this episode. Today we are covering Anapark. So thank you, Zach.
Finally.
Yeah, thank you, Zach, for the email, and we're finally getting to it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, maybe we're behind on the times because, it's been so talked about in the, you know, mate world for last few years, you know, but
yeah, I feel like it sort of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just had a big marketing push or if it is a pretty new product, relatively speaking, but yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about Anapark for the first time, maybe 2015, 2016.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. I know, Circle of Drink was talking about it. They were marketing it pretty heavily. They were selling it at the time. I don't know if they're still selling it. But yeah, it just kind of, at least from where I'm sitting, I mean, maybe, you know, in Argentina, it was already super popular, but we'll kind of get to that when we talk about the origins of the company, but it seemed like it just kind of came out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden it developed kind of a cult following, right? Mm-hmm. Zach in his email says that, you know, many, I mean, you know, it's just an email, but, you know, many, and I would say please cite source, but many, you know, consider it to be the best sherba around.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Talk about a bold statement, the best. And yeah, he says, you know, it's organic, it's unsmoked, and so possibly one that would interest us. So here we are. We've got it. If you can here. That is me shaking the bag. We've drank it. Yep. Clark's slurping away. We've drank it now a couple of times, and we're going to be drinking it now. Well, Clark is drinking it now. I'll pour myself some here in a second. I've got a gourd prepared, but we're going to be talking about it. But we'll first start about talking about their company. The company that makes Anna Park.
Yeah, the company. The place that produces it. Yes.
So... I'll be honest, looked up their website, not a ton of information. Their packaging, you know, says that they are produced by the company Cherval Viejo. It's got a guy's name on here, Erico Ricardo Barney, although the kerning on this text makes it look like Bamey. But that's not their fault. Or maybe it is. Neither here nor there. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with the brand Cherval Viejo. I've seen it on like Pampa Direct. So I'm kind of wondering if it's sort of like Metamate and Barón, how they're kind of work together. Maybe Anna Park, you know, uses the Cherval Viejo infrastructure. They own their own plantation, and then they use, you know, this bigger company's manufacturing equipment. Or maybe Anna Park is just kind of a private label within the Cherval Viejo brand. Not really sure. They are based out of, whatchamacallit. They are based out of...
whatchamacallit, world.
Yeah, no, they're based out of Obera Misiones, right?
Yeah, classic.
Very
right in the heart of the mate mate place.
Kind of the mate. The mate place, right?
The mate place.
Yeah, I mean I'm trying to see if Cherval Viejo has like their own website.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like they do. They have their own kind of mark or little page here in the yerbamateargentina.org. They're one of the oldest brands from Argentina. It looks like they started the brand in 1939?
Dang.
Oh wait, no, just kidding. That's when Obera was renamed Obera. Okay, yeah, no, just kidding. This actually has no information.
actually is useless.
Sorry. Yeah, it's just like their mission statement. Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. I just went to the dates. I just saw dates. Yeah, I mean, it kind of this page on the site kind of does reference the story that is actually also printed on Anna Park, which
okay
makes me feel like Anna Park is maybe kind of a private label within the Cherval Viejo kind of family of brands. But
yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so it says here, you know, Anna Park, the future is organic. It says it's yerba mate. It's got stickety sticks. It is, you know, originating from the Paraná forest, right, in the Misiones region. Limited production, it says, Anna Park, or, you know, literally, it said, well, so, this, yeah, I'm translating it from Spanish to English, but on the package, they're translating from English to Spanish, so they clarify Anna Park, in Spanish is El Parque de Anna, right? It says, in memory of Eric and Anna Barney, Swiss immigrants. Sueco is Swiss, right? That's not Swedish.
Sueco is Swiss, right?
Okay, because yes. I'm not gonna lie. What? Oh, wait, no, just kidding. That's Swedish. They're Swedish immigrants.
Swedish. Oh yeah. Yep.
Okay. Good thing I checked. I'm not gonna lie. I get those two mixed up in English all the time.
It's like, who's Swedish? Is that what? I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you were going to write an angry email, we already fixed it. Please don't Swedish. Swedish immigrants. They established themselves in this natural area where they, you know, planted and cultivated the sherba trees in the hills and the mountains, you know, they started like 90 years ago. But the development of this product was done over, you know, more than 3 years. No idea when those 3 years were, but they developed the product over 3 years. It says it's got the organic quality, it's got palos, it's got leaves that are at least 2 years old, and then naturally aged for 1 year. But that is an interesting thing, right? Because we kind of talked about this with Metamate Raw, where Metamate Raw was talking about how they specifically picked leaves that were a certain age. And Anna Park is kind of saying the same thing here, right? Like,
right.
They only search out the leaves that are at the minimum 2 years old.
Yeah, it's pretty rad because up until like Metamate, I'd never heard of a company in which the production people were trained to pick out the leaves like of a specific age. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Pretty unique.
Pretty cool. But you know, obviously they are really pushing an organic kind of point of view, right? That's kind of their shtick. It's got a big certified organic logo. It's got like an Argentina organic logo. It's got maybe some like more international logos. But that's their deal, right? That, like Zach said in the email, they're organic. It's just trying to push, you know, the best quality raw materials to produce, you know, what they believe is the best quality product. And on the actual Anna Park website, kind of, you know, says the same thing, where they talk about how they don't use agrotoxins, they don't use herbicides, no fungicides, natural fertilizer, you know, drip irrigation, you know, all the great stuff like that. Yeah, and so here's something interesting, right? Because they talk about, and this was something that that Zach mentioned, that it's unsmoked. So on their website, they talk about the process that they use to produce the sherba, and they actually say they use the barbacoa sistema artesanal de secado secuencial. So barbacoa is, you know, kind of that traditional smoky oven fire way to dry, right? But it also says, under the section We Are Organic, it says our yerba mate is made artisanally following methods implemented, you know, from the original Guarani tradition, right? In the in their original kind of formation, right? Like the original, their process is based on the original Guarani, like, process, right?
Like the OG process.
The OG, the original Guarani. Exactly. However, it says the drying of the sherba is done slowly in barbacoa de cinta, so like a belt, a conveyor belt barbacoa. But then it says without smoke, and then with what? Systems of combustion of high efficiency.
What? Wait a sec. So barbacoa without smoke... What? So it's like saying barbecue sauce without the barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little confused. So like, do they implement do the barbecue on site, but it doesn't actually come in contact with the leaves? So it's like part of the process, but it's not real. I don't.
Yeah.
That's confusing.
I mean, I feel like this is, I cannot remember who does it, but I think I've heard before where like, oh yeah, we use a fire, but the smoke is, you know, separate, and we just use the heat from the fire. We basically pass the sherba over the heat in like a closed system so that it gets the heat from the barbacoa, but it doesn't get the smoke. Which, I don't know, maybe that's splitting hairs, but I kind of almost don't, I feel like you can't call your sherba barbacoa then.
Yeah, because the whole point of barbacoa, whatever.
Yeah, on their website, they literally have it both ways. The they have it barbacoa and barbacoa. I don't know if those are two different things, or if it's just no one knows how to freaking pronounce that word, and so they put the accent in different places.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just the one way. But, like, it's literally smoke coming into contact with the leaves. Like, that's the whole point of barbacoa.
Yeah, that's what I thought, at least.
Right? Yeah, maybe they've redefined what barbacoa means. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, it kind of seems like they're trying to have their cake and eat it, where they're trying to be like, yes, we're using these very traditional techniques, right? Because the barbacoa is a very ancient technique. But then they're like playing into these sort of what we've kind of talked about, you know, being that like new agey marketing, no smoke kind of thing. So it kind of seems like they're trying to have their cake and eat it too, which, eh. Fine, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Like, yeah, but it's just, you know, don't leave us, you know, customers confused. We're, you know, just trying to get some just general information.
Yeah,
and it's a little contradictory.
A little contradictory. But. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They put an email on their package. Maybe we should email them and question them about that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, yo, what's up with this barbacoa thing you guys got going on?
Yeah, maybe. Are you saying we should have done our due diligence before?
Threatening
we...
email?
No, not threatening. I was like,
no, of course not. What?
No, but maybe we should have done our due diligence before writing this or writing the script and recording this episode.
Yes.
As if we write scripts.
I knew exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Yerba Viejo, Anapark. Regardless of, you know, we don't really know how long the company's been around. We don't really know when Anapark started as a product. But the main thing is they purport to have a extremely high quality and extremely organic, very eco-friendly method of producing their product. And it's from Misiones Argentina, right? The cut is pretty... It's
standard for the most part, but I noticed something interesting.
What's that?
Like, you get some random big sticks. Like, look at this guy.
Oh my gosh, that is huge. He is holding up a big stick.
Yes. Huge.
Big stick. Man, yeah. Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Like, it's pretty standard for Argentine sherba. It's a little kind of all over the place. The cut isn't super consistent. There's, you know, some more jaggy piece of leaves, smaller, bigger. I will say I feel like it's a little on the... not dusty side. It's definitely nothing like, you know, too crazy. Argentine sherba is not known for being like, you know, the most dusty, or powdery, let's call it, right? And it's definitely not like, you know, a lot of those kind of North American centric or European centric brands where they strip out all of the powder and it's literally just leaves. So it's a good balance.
Yeah.
The nose is kind of oaty, wheat, grain.
Yeah, kind of cereal.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, like, actually.
Despite all their processes, like, it does have a little bit of a kind of almost a smoky kind of, I don't know, like a deep kind of.
Yeah.
Roasty smell. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely has a kind of a smoky woodiness, especially a little bit on the nose, but especially on the palate. Yeah. We can talk about that more in a second. But
yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's just a very kind of... It's not like super smoky like your, like, you know, a Rosamonte or anything like that. Like, or I can't remember what the, what's the one Las Marias brand that is a barbacoa. Like, you know, it comes in the cardboard box with the metal bag.
The metal bag.
Yeah, you know, they got the, like, De Monte and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
La Merced.
Oh, shoot. La Merced, yeah. Man, it's been a while. Holy crap.
That still exists.
I wanted to assume so, but...
Okay, yeah, people are selling it. I just remember I heard someone talking about, like, oh, like, Las Marias is canceling or discontinuing La Merced. Yeah, anyway, that's neither here nor there. it's a nice, you know, inoffensive, kind of not out of the ordinary crazy cut. Smells good. But we can talk about the taste now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me pour myself a gourd.
Yeah, let me do that as well. We're both drinking it in natural calabash gourds, right? So just in case if anyone was wondering. Because that does affect the taste.
Yeah. Yeah. Today I almost went with my Palo Santo, but I was like, no, I got to go with just the traditional gourd today.
Yeah, I drank it. The first time I drank it in a normal calabaza. And then this morning when I drank it kind of during the day, I drank it in an algarrobo, and then now I'm drinking it in a calabaza again. So kind of went gourd, wood, gourd here.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. I went, what was it? Gourd, glass, gourd, gourd. Yeah.
So, having drunk it quite a bit now, Clark, what do you think?
You know, it's similar to the palate. Like it's pretty standard. Like nothing that I wasn't expecting for an Argentinian sherpa. You know, has that kind of like that oatiness on the palate. It has it's like a twinge of kind of wood, smoke notes. Pretty nice, though. I mean, and when I pour it, it creates a decent amount of foam, all things considered, for not having a lot of dust.
Yeah. And at least here at the Mate Guys, we consider that to be a good indicator of a quality sherba, right? Some people don't think that, but we think that at least.
The saponins or something.
Yeah, so, or something. I feel like the words that kind of came to me, the three kind of words, because depending on who you, I mean, well, according to their own literature, they profess this to be produced without the use of smoke, right? But it doesn't taste like the other unsmoked, air-dried sherbas that I've had, at least.
Yeah.
It has, like you were saying, it has a really kind of woodiness to it, which I know can actually come from the way that they age it, depending on how they age it.
Right. Yeah.
If they age it in, like, barrels, or if depending on where they age it, it can actually impart some of that woodiness, even if it's not really coming into contact with smoke. But kind of the three words I would describe the taste of an aparque is woody, smooth, and clean. This has very little bitterness. Which may be a positive or maybe a negative, honestly, depending on how you like your mate. But to me, this is just very smooth. It has just like the slightest hint of astringency, but it's really smooth and clean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, those that's a good description, because yeah, there's just like at the very end, there's like that little bit of bitterness to remind you that it is mate, but
yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, it's super easy to drink. It's, you know, you can pour gourd after gourd without, you know, kind of getting overwhelmed by the bitterness of it.
Right. And, you know, it has, like you were saying, it has a good amount of foam. It has a nice mouthfeel. It does kind of... I feel like when I have had other clean, you know, non-smoked sherbas, when I've drank it, it's always come across as kind of weak, thin, watery. But this still has that syrupy, thick mouthfeel. It has the foam. It feels like it has body, like you're drinking something substantial.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of a viscosity there.
But
yeah, because I remember like Kraus. I mean, last time I drank it was years ago, but I just remember drinking it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of disappointing. Like, it just kind of falls flat, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, this, you know, it holds up in court.
Yeah, and I feel like kind of astringency is somewhere that sherba kind of tends to go, depending on, I lack the industry professional knowledge, but I don't know if it's just like a processing thing or if it's a soil thing, but I have had, I would say, some unpleasantly astringent Argentine sherba. I know typically when you think of astringency, you think of Paraguay, right? They have the kind of the sour sherba, but them with theirs, it's always been kind of a nice, light, citrusy. But I've had some Argentine mate that it almost tastes like, almost like it's gone bad. It's kind of the description.
Mm.
Which, but I mean, this is a separate conversation altogether. But mate doesn't actually get sour when it goes bad. When it goes bad, quote unquote, goes bad, it actually gets very fishy. If you've ever had really old Shimajon that wasn't stored properly, it smells and tastes very fishy, and it's really gross.
I don't know if I want to test that, but
yeah, that's, I'm curious. How I know that is a story for another day.
Ooh, yeah. I think I know the story, but yeah, we should definitely talk about that next time.
Yeah, but no. So like, I was kind of going into this expecting it to be a little kind of astringent, sour, kind of not very pleasant on the palate, because I have professed this before, but I do have a little bit of negative bias against Argentine sherba. But I am, yeah, super pleased to announce that that really wasn't the case. It was super round, felt really good on the mouth. It was smooth, clean. Just like you said, that it has that little bit of a bitter bite at the end, just to remind you that this is still mate. Mm-hmm. I think if a mate was like had literally zero bitterness, I think that's when it usually tastes like you're drinking water, right?
Right.
When you're drinking alfalfa water, and unfortunately, a lot of the air dried sherba tastes like that.
Yeah, yeah. It just kind of it just. Yeah, you know, like, oh, this almost tastes like something. Oh, but it doesn't really. It's like a light green tea, kind of like, not even alfalfa.
Yeah, but
yeah,
but no. I mean, this honestly was a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. I will say the most pleasant surprise out of all of this was how much of a mood lifter Ana Park was. I'll be the first to admit, I do not drink mate for any mental effects, right? Like people talk about, oh, the theobromine just gives me such a creative boost and lifts my spirits. I do not drink mate for any sort of mood altering methods or purposes. But the first time I drank it, and this isn't, I think we've talked about on the show, like, you know, sometimes if you go for like a month or a couple of months without drinking it, you do get a little bit of that, ooh, elevated clarity, that kind of feel good feeling.
Yeah.
That comes from the theobromine, right?
Right.
But
right.
This, I've been drinking mate every day for ages now, and I haven't taken a break, but even still, drinking the Anapark just kind of did lift my spirits more than normal mate does, my normal Shimahong, even very high quality Shimahong. You know, it definitely lifts my mood, my spirits. I don't know if that's from the theobromine or if it's just a psychological thing that I'm partaking in a ritual that I do every day. But I definitely felt something with Anapark, and that was quite nice.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's not something you hear from Steven every day. So that's, yeah, that's.
No. Yeah, that's anything else? Anything else you want to talk about with the taste?
You know, I gotta say the cycle, like, I guess not really taste, but the cycle isn't bad.
No.
You know, because I'm not using a big gourd, and you know, I've refilled mate after mate, and there's still foam coming, and yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, that is the other kind of unfortunate association I have with, you know, non-smoked sherba, is that they don't have the strongest taste, and what little taste they have comes out super quick.
Yeah.
And so you get one or two okay drinks, and then you're like, okay, this is literally just water now. But no, you're right. Yeah, this really, and I mean, I'm drinking out of a kind of traditional sized Argentine gourd, right? It's about the size of like a plum, like a large plum. And so not a very big gourd, and yeah, it really does hold up. I was going to say, unlike another sherba I drank, but, very recently, but we won't talk about that right now.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, So long story short, it tastes actually quite nice, right? I would say it is not either of our cup of tea in terms of what we naturally gravitate towards. But if I only had Anapark for, you know, a good while, like, I don't know, in a alien invasion scenario, desert island scenario, I would not be too upset. I would definitely get by. Yeah. I genuinely enjoyed it. It is up there with some of my favorite Argentine sherbas. Is it my favorite? Hard to say. I've only had it a couple of times. It's competing against other Argentine sherbas that I've been drinking for years that have a more smoky profile, which I personally favor. But, you know, I think for it to go from never having tried it to definitely one of my favorites, I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's I'm impressed by how it goes on Steven's scale. I haven't even considered what, like, I have been completely out of the game as far as Argentine sherba is concerned, so I can't really say where it falls for me.
Sure.
It's not the worst. I think the price point definitely, like,
that
pushes me away from you know, getting a bag for myself.
Yeah, that is the 400-pound gorilla, right? That is the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
So I purchased a 500-gram bag. It only comes as
1 pound.
Yeah, basically 1 pound, right? It a little more than 1 pound. As far as I can tell, and as far as their website says, it only comes in the 500-gram package. This is the only size they produce, right? Even La Rubia makes two sizes, all right?
Yeah.
This was $20 shipped. I have seen it as, I think the lowest I've seen it available in the US was about $16, but I think that probably meant that was $16 plus shipping.
Mm-hmm.
I got this on Amazon, so it was Prime, one day shipping, $20 to my house. That's kind of expensive.
Yeah, like times that's... that by two, and like you're looking at $40 for a kilo of yerba.
That's, I mean, that's not the most expensive yerba I've ever heard of.
Right.
I mean, there is.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do some quick research right here. There are definitely other companies charging more for their yerba, right? But I mean,
I can think of one real quick. Oh, yeah. What is it, like $100 for a kilo or something like that?
I'm looking it up because I'm curious. I must imagine that inflation has
affected the prices.
Right, they affected their 9,000% margin.
Right.
Oh my gosh. But. Long story short, like, if that's worth it to you is going to kind of dictate, you know, whether that is going to be a appropriate amount to spend on it. Okay. So Circle of Drink Mission is $47 for 1 pound. Or $190 for 5 pounds. You can go up to you can buy a 10-pound bag of it for $315. So
I mean that's only $31 a pound. I mean, so you're getting a pretty, you know, you get some good savings.
Yeah,
there.
That's only $31 a pound. But yeah, even at the highest volume, Circle of Drink Mission still, I think, is the most expensive yerba on the market. So, you know, when you look at it that way, you know, $20 for 500 grams of Anapark is a bargain, right? But
it's a screaming deal.
But, you know, I mean, I feel like there is kind of a artisan mate price threshold that is about here, right? Meta mate is not too far off. I mean, does a kilo of meta mate retail for these days, Clark? You would know better than I would.
A kilo of like the moonshine?
Sure. Yeah. You know.
Or.
Yeah. I mean, okay, moonshine. Yeah, I feel like that's kind of the.
That's going to be
flagship meta mate, right?
That's kind of the go-to. Right. $27.
Okay.
I mean, but then, you know, add on shipping cost and, you know, that's, you know, it varies $7 to $10 depending on where you live in the U.S. Right. So, I mean, it pushes 40.
So it's about the same. Right. Because, I mean, because it was $20 shipped. I mean, yes, Amazon Prime, they do, you know, the we're not going to talk about Amazon's business structure, but obviously Prime deals in volumes that they're able to get shipping, and they control most of their own shipping, right? So they are able to kind of set the price there. Mm-hmm. But either way, just dollars to dollars, apples to apples, you know, they're about the same price. And, you know, obviously Clark is distributor. So yeah,
we're not shying away from that. Like, I am, you know, Metamate guy, and you know, yeah, that's reality. I mean, but you're looking at an artisanally produced mate, and I think that has a lot of value for a lot of mate drinkers out there. So,
yeah,
you know, whether you like the Brazilian or the Argentine, then, you know, that kind of depends on
just, you know, your
which way you sway. So,
right. So, I guess,
you tell me, dear listener.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your experience with Anapark. Send us you know, a review, what you think.
Send us an email and tell us.
Yeah, send us an email. We've got the email, obviously, but we've got some other social media too, I guess.
Twitter.
At real, or at X. Real. X. At oh, real X. Monte Sorry. Guys. X. yeah, just send us an email. Just send us an email.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know. I think that's all I've got to say. It was really good. It wasn't, for me, it wasn't like, oh my goodness, this is the best mate ever, and that's all I'm going to drink. But
it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed.
I think coming from us, that's pretty high praise.
I mean, I managed to drink this like 3 times before the episode. And, you know, okay, yeah, partially for the episode, but also like, oh, yeah, like I kept drinking it. I was just like, oh, I'm going to make some out of park today.
Nice. Yeah, that's.
And the proof is in the pudding.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
Yep. Well, I have nothing else to say about this.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about it either. But yeah, so there you go. That's on a park. You can buy, you know, on Amazon or just Google it. There's a lot of places to look it up.
Do with that as you will.
But I think that's going to be it for this one. Send us your comments, your feedback at mateguys@gmail.com. Let us know if you've tried Anapark. And we'll catch y'all on the flippity flip.
See ya.